John, I have a question here. Somebody wrote in, they knew we were going to do this interview, and they had a question. And here's the question. I don't need to take this the wrong way, but let's see. Bill from New Hampshire, he says, John, I've heard a lot about the law of attraction, and I've got to be honest, I'm not buying it. Are you really into it? It says, and in parentheses, be honest, does it really work? So, John, what do you say to a question like that?
I like guys like Bill because you can probably guess I've had questions like this in so many places by so many people on television shows, radio shows, magazine interviews, and so forth. And people ask me questions like, is that true? Or, I don't buy that. And my question is actually this. Do you buy the law of gravity? You don't know that much about it, but do you subscribe to it? It's invisible. You can't see it. Do you believe in air? You breathe it, but you still can't see it. It's what we were hypnotized to believe in, Bill. Let me tell you of a little story, something that happened with me. Many who will be listening to this would know of the great author Richard Bach, bestseller worldwide for many years because of his books like Jonathan Livingston Seagull and Illusions and Bridge Across Forever and so forth. And Richard and I go back decades. We used to have strange conversations, stranger than the things we write in books. And once I thought, here, I'm going to catch this guy. I'm going to ask him about something that I have seen magic with. For example, I said, Richard, do you believe in astrology? Do you believe that kind of nonsense? I just said that now, Steve, just to hear what he'd say. I said, do you believe in astrology at all? How can a smart guy like you do that? And he looked at me and he smiled and he says, you know, John, I never used to until I met someone who was very, very good at it. Okay? So many times we look at situations, we look at the law of attraction. And when it came out also, I said to myself, an entire book on the law of attraction, and they call that the secret. How about all the other secrets? And then I thought, no, that is one of them. And the only secret is there are no secrets. They're just things that we do not know.
That's very well put. I like that.
And so the law of attraction works. If you don't believe it, try not to make it work or try to ignore it because everything you do, everything you say, everything you see around you there, or almost everything, I should say, because of the workings, which I think are biased on our sides also sometimes, and that's again for another time, where there might be other forces guiding us to make the right choices, and like I said earlier, and have the choices make us. So I would say to Bill, you don't have to believe it for it to work, and you don't have to not believe it for it to not work. You just have to ignore
Very nice,
it.
very nice. Now, John, I'm not going to let you off the hook because you said we'll talk about that some other time. These other forces that you alluded to, we want, as I've said, every bit of information that we can possibly get from you. So, what are these other forces that you're talking about that might be at work?
There are many of them. For example, the power of gratitude, the power of belief, the force that has to do with our being guided into something that's great or saving our lives. For example, I'll give an example. Okay. I love examples, Steve. They make us understand things better. One day in my younger days, I'm driving alone from New York to Atlanta. I don't do that anymore. But I was stubborn enough that I'll do the 14-hour drive with just stopping a couple of times at a rest stop. And it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I was starting to feel sleepy. And common sense was saying, look, John, pull over into one of these rest areas and take a 15-minute nap. And impatience was saying to me, you can't do that. That'll be 15 minutes. Yeah, I said, that'll be 15 minutes. I could be 15 miles along, that much closer to home. So I did a silly thing that I shouldn't have done. I kept driving and I thought, oh gee, I'll be so careful. And I might have just for 1/10 of a second closed my eyes, caught myself, opened the window, still felt sleepy, kept going. And all of a sudden, I heard this voice. I don't know where it came from. It's John, John, wake up. And I jumped up just in time to see this giant truck coming down the highway.
Wow.
And I thought, ooh, when I got back, and then I pulled over at the next stop and rest. Now, where did that come from? Some people would say it's the subconscious that got you out of that. Others would say it might have been guides and teachers. It could have been somebody in the on the other side. Maybe your mom, who still loves you wherever she is. Maybe your dad, maybe a grandfather. Maybe it's an angel. You see, these are the other things I said we'll talk about. Where did this come from? It actually prevented my shortening my longevity, so to say, because they would have read about it in the papers. There are other forces where I must have been very fortunate, or I must have been guided in some of the things that happened to me in this lifetime. For example, almost drowning and at Jones Beach when the riptide, the undercurrent started pulling me away, and I kept shouting, "Help, help!" And it's like, you know, whispering. I thought nobody would see me and hear me, and the water was so rough, and all of a sudden this guy appeared in front of me with this rope in his mouth, bitten between his teeth, and they pulled me to shore, and then I regained consciousness. Or I could have been eaten by a giant black-maned African lion when I was in the Serengeti, and I saw this thing, and it was so close. I wrote about it in my book also, but for some reason I think we both froze at the same time, and I don't know which one was more scared. Or another time when I was caught again on safari with one of the wild water buffaloes, they're even more dangerous than lions when they have their little babies, and for some reason I was not attacked. So many times, so many things. Now, I could sit back and say, you know, John, as a scientist, what are the chances of some of these things happening? And I could say 50-50. Yeah, you could escape once, but not all the time. Or you can escape all the time. Is it that logical? So there was a force, there was something else that was beyond me that made me do the right thing at the right time to get me out of that situation. So those are some of the powers I talk about, or some of the abilities, instead of saying powers. There is the other one, since you asked, Steve, about using intuition, which I will teach some of this, how to do it. Saved my life a number of times. Again, you might be saying that, boy, you certainly need saving a lot. Well, you know, I have a feeling I did and still do.
Well, John, how does that, and I appreciate all of those concepts, how does that tie into the law of attraction?
You see, there is no separation. They're all tied in one way or the other. Look at a bicycle wheel, okay? There's a hub, there's a wheel, and there are a whole bunch of spokes. You could get rid of a few of the spokes and the wheel would still be okay, but if you get rid of all of them, you don't have a bicycle wheel anymore. And so all these things are attached to one another. There's a law. Again, I don't know whether it's a scientific nonsense. It doesn't matter. It says everything is connected to everything, and there couldn't be two everythings. So the law of attraction is affected by our thoughts, our guidance, our feelings, our emotions, which again, if we get too upset, too emotional, we cannot feel or be totally intuitive as we should be. Or take, for example, that part, the law of attraction. I must have set that up in a way. Hey, you know, I can make this. I can make it home. I just got a few more hours to. I'm a brave guy. I'm young. I'm macho. I could do this. And I set it up and attracted to me something, a truck barreling down the highway, which some protector of mine, or let's, if we don't even want to say that, an angel, a guardian angel said, "John," and it woke me up and it made me really, really aware of what to do next. See how those three are connected?
That makes perfect sense now. That ties in everything. Yes, absolutely.
Well, there are many more powers we can talk about, but there will be so many that we'll never have time enough to do it. How do we get guidance? How do we use the power of dreams, for example? I passed exams dreaming some of the answers to the questions. That's a good thing to do. I didn't ask to dream it. It just came because I hadn't studied the day before. And I was like, man, I don't think I can do this.
Now, John, is that something that you can teach us how to do?
Oh, yeah. It's all teachable, learnable, and so forth. You know, the biggest thing about any of these things, Steve, is the principles are simple. There's nothing complex about any of it. But there are a few things that have to be done. One of the important things is practice. You get a hang for it, you practice. Just like anything else, To this day, I type with two fingers. But guess what? I've practiced it for so long that I type pretty fast with two fingers. We don't think about doing certain things because we have done them over and over again. So intuition can be taught and could be learned. There are a few simple things how to do it. Some breathing exercises here or there. But the most important thing is giving yourself permission to believe. Notice power of belief. Notice the word belief coming in there. To believe that you could do it. Trusting yourself. Just simple, ordinary stuff. No things about, don't talk about chakras. I know what they are, but let's talk about energy systems. I don't want to get involved in complex things. I don't talk about Kundalini rising because I don't care about Kundalini rising. I don't talk about what they used to do in the Middle Ages, like how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. Who cares? I just say, you can learn this. You can even learn to walk on water. That's a different course, by the way, Steve.
I hear you. So I heard you say in there that, correct me if I'm wrong, the essence of using the law of attraction in terms of harnessing your dreams to get answers to tests, the secret to that is just to believe that it can happen.
Going beyond belief a little bit, to know that it can happen and then let it alone.
Wow. So those are the essential steps. And again, it gets back to just the concept of letting law of attraction work. So you're saying something as fascinating as having the ability to dream the answers to a test will happen to us, or could potentially happen to us, just by us believing that that's possible.
Yes, but with one little modification. Just believing that it's possible mean if we believe with all our heart and if we trust the process and, I'm not talking about this type of belief where this lady looked out of her window in the morning and said, you know, dear God, I'm praying to you, please don't make it rain today. Let it be a sunshine day. I really want one good sunshine day. I believe and trust you, God. Thank you. And then she closed the window and she says, but I know it's going to rain. You see?
Right.
That just short-circuited it. So to believe, give ourselves permission to think that all these things are possible, and then you got to practice it.
Right. And so it has to come into play. Now getting back to this concept of using dreams to get test answers, how does one practice that?
Okay, I didn't really learn to use dreams to get that specific thing. What I did, I realized at a very young age that these dreams have meaning and that dreams are fantastic things, or else they wouldn't occur the way they're occurring. Like, there are weird things that happen. For example, a car can be driving on water, boats could be floating on land, we could be flying, doing all kinds of things. So what we're dealing with there is a different state of reality. I always remember another old friend of mine, Deepak Chopra. Deepak says, reality is different in different states of consciousness. So remember, there is no closed system. The subconscious, the conscious, the superconscious, they're all connected together. And so there's a normal give and take. If we go to bed, I talk to a lot of people, Steve, who say to me, but I can't dream. I don't dream, John. And you in your profession know that that's not true. We all dream. Here's the problem. We don't remember all of it. We don't remember any of it. So notice, we don't have to worry about the dream. We got to train ourselves to dream and remember our dream. And if we have time in a future session, I'll spend a little bit of it teaching people how to do that. And then you will find that sometimes dreams are like nonsense. You know, what does that mean? But I don't think they're haphazard. I've talked to some of the most well-known people on this topic. And they say there is a thread. You just have to interpret it correctly. So what we've got to do is to learn to interpret our own dream. Let me give you an example of what I mean by that. A few years ago, remember, Steve, the law of attraction is tied into dreams, is tied into intuition, is tied into everything we will ever talk about or can talk about.
Okay.
So there was a time I had a dream. This dream was interesting. It was like... I was having it was repeating itself, and many years ago I remember it very well, and I was being chased by three giant dogs. Now, when I was a kid, I got bitten a lot of times because I'd take the puppy when it was just born and play with it. And it was so nice, and the mother didn't appreciate that. And so I was bitten a couple of times here and there. So I developed this kind of anxiety long ago about dogs, especially big dogs that weren't mine. So in this dream, these three dogs are chasing me, and I couldn't figure why. So, okay, that's a crazy dream, because I learned that whenever you're drunk, which I've done a few times in college long ago, or whenever you ate too much, which I've done also, or whenever you're not too well, maybe you shouldn't pay much attention to those dreams. But this was a normal type of thing. I'd go to bed, and here's this dream. 3 weeks later, it'll repeat itself, not exactly the same way, but with the same things. I'm being chased by these dogs. Every time I stop in my dream, the dogs stop. Next time, maybe a month or two later, same dream. You see, what it's trying to do there is to bring you a message, and I couldn't get the message. You know, I'm a simple, ordinary guy, and don't like to tax my head too much. But here was this dream is repeating itself, and then I remember that a wise man once told me, a Swami, incidentally, says, you know, when a dream is repeating itself, it will keep doing that until you get the meaning. So I sat down and I thought, what in the world is this? I'm being chased by some things I was scared about because they were big. I'm a little guy, and I think they're going to bite me, and I'm all alone in this pasture type place, and I'm running like crazy. When I stop, they stop. And so during my waking hours, I said, that's weird. If I do remember, what I'll do is I'll change this. I don't know much about how to do things in dreams because I was much younger. And the next time a dream came on like that, somehow the other, the thought came to me while sleeping, I wasn't aware of it consciously, to stop, and instead of just stopping, move towards the dogs. And I did that. And guess what? I never, ever, all these decades, had that dream again. Now you might say, well, what was the purpose of that? It was telling me one thing, Steve. Face the thing you fear, and it will flee from you.
Very interesting. And that ties in a lot to what you said about Job earlier on when
Oh,
we began the session, which, yeah, the fear can actually happen. We start to think about things, and we actually find they happen. And I see that all the time with my patients, that what they're afraid of actually manifests. So you had to learn that lesson in your dreams, but dreams can be so real. It's almost like doing it in your waking life. You had to learn that lesson of standing up to this and overcoming it and pushing through it.
So that dream was a teaching moment for me because I thought, you know, I'm afraid of all these little things, you know. Gee, for goodness sakes, I'm just a young guy and have all these fears like everybody else, fears of money and health and relationships and everything else. And I'm just creating problems out of no problem, you know. And I'm just imagining that there are ghosts under the bed, and they're not real. They're only real if I believe that and think of it like that. Here's another example of how you think and believe these things. Prior to 1492, when Columbus sailed, a lot of people thought the world was flat. And when he was sailing from Spain or wherever it is he left, I think it was Spain. I even saw where he departed from with those three ships. When he was leaving, many people said, that's the end of him. He'll fall off the edge of the world. Now, did that make the world flat because they all thought it was so? No, the world didn't care. The world was merrily spinning its way. It was round. But what did it do to them, that belief? It made them act as if the world was flat, so they never went beyond the horizon. Didn't do that to Christopher Columbus, who thought maybe it was round, and he discovered the New World. So belief is extremely powerful. You believe you don't dream, you don't, you will not dream. You believe that you're bad, then everyone will start thinking you're bad because they pick up on your energy. And we'll go into, you mentioned another thing, some of the things that we'll be talking about, the morphogenic field, called for short, the morphic field, and how this exists all around us and how we can use it. You'd be amazed when I get to the point of telling you those stories.
John, I'm looking forward to all of this. I'm fascinated by it. And one of the things I love about you and your knowledge, your mind, the way it works, is that for you, the law of attraction isn't A, B, C, and D. It doesn't work like that. The law of attraction for you, and in reality, in fact, encapsulates the whole human experience. And you bring everything together under that. Dreams, our fears, everything. And you make it all real for us. And just the way you show it to us as being something that's happening, whether we know it or not, and the law of attraction not caring about what we think about it. And you just make it real for us. You make it practical. So, John, I want to thank you for taking your time to talk with us about the law of attraction.
Well, thank you, Steve. It was my pleasure. And as you notice, we, like you said, we put all the other things in there because there's not a clear-cut boundary between anything, none at all, between this dimension, any other dimensions, and this world, any other world, the universe. You know what we might just be, Steve? We might just be thoughts in the mighty mind of God, whoever he or she is,
Wow.
the creator. That's what we probably are. And we're probably thinking all ourselves. We're thinking ourselves into being who we are.
Wow. John, you open our minds, you open our possibilities, you open our third eyes, you open us up to all of this, and I just appreciate the way I feel when I listen to you talk. I appreciate the concepts that I get in tune with, and they resonate with me. So thank you, John. Thank you for sharing your wisdom concerning the law of attraction.
Well, thank you for having me do this, Steve, and I appreciate it. And we'll talk again when you want to.
That sounds perfect. I will look forward to it.
Great.